You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. For many of you, you perhaps saw the news this past winter. Right around Christmas and New Year's, we had a lot of flooding here in the Midwest. And, well, as a result of that flooding, many were affected in the communities here in the Midwest. And so we're going to learn more about what happened with that and how congregations respond in a time of need, how they respond in a time of disaster. So we're going to talk with some friends from St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Eureka, Missouri, as they stepped up to find out what the needs were in the community and help serve after that flooding. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin on our website. Just go to kfuo.org and look for the CUW logo in the sponsors section. Joining me in studio today, part of the team, the disaster response team from St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Eureka, Missouri, Pastor Bob Liebman. Welcome to Faith and Family.
Thanks, Andy.
Glad to have you here today, and glad to have my own pastor in studio today, and Denise Kasten, a member of St. Mark's, and leading up the team for us at St. Mark's in disaster response. Denise, welcome.
Thank you.
Good to have you in studio as well. And this is first time in studio for you all, but not the first time for St. Mark's, folks. So glad to have you here today and learning more about what happened in December and January this past winter. So tell me a little bit about, who wants to share with me a little bit about the community of Eureka? Denise, how would you describe Eureka?
Well, it's a fairly unique situation because Eureka actually encompasses three counties. So we're in Jefferson County, Franklin County, and St. Louis County. So it's a little bit tricky when you decide who's going to respond to this disaster. You know, which county, or is it going to be actually the city of Eureka? And so, but it's a wonderful situation because we have this variety of communities, diversity. And so as we come together and try to figure out who to respond, we decided we should all respond.
How long have you lived in the community, Denise?
Oh, I've been there 27 years.
Wow. And Pastor Bob, you've been at St. Mark's for
15 years.
Wow. So how would you describe the Eureka community?
Oh my goodness. It's a wonderful place to live. I just heard that somebody, you know, people do these polls all the time, right?
Right. It was ranked number one raising a family in Missouri. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And so it really is. It's a wonderful place to raise a family. It's I raised three boys there, and I guess I'm still in the process of doing so. But it is, it's a wonderful, wonderful community. People do take care of each other, love each other. And this flood was a great example of that. The desire to come together and help each other out.
And Denise, you mentioned that Eureka kind of covers three different counties, or is found in three different counties. That it's kind of a unique setting, as I have friends that live a little bit further out I-44, and they call it Frankerson County because it's Franklin and Jefferson County. You know, they live right on the line, so they call it Frankerson County there. And that's so true. You know, you kind of we span the across three counties, and so that does bring some uniqueness to the community. Mm-hmm. In terms of education and resources available.
Right.
And Eureka is also home to, I can't believe neither of you mentioned this, when you live in the community, you forget about it all the time.
Six Flags. Right.
Yeah, Six Flags.
You do forget it, sort of, except on Saturday mornings when you can't get any food at the drive-ups.
When you're trying to get through town and traffic has everything backed up, especially during the summer. And so Eureka is a unique community located on the I-44 corridor in Missouri. And glad to be a part of that myself as well, learning, and, you know, with my son being at St. Mark's and my wife serving there as well. It's nice to be a part of this community. And it really, Eureka is one of those towns that really does, I think, in my opinion, have a sense of community. Mm-hmm. With a lot of events throughout the year as well. Eureka Days in the fall. In early
block parties. Mm-hmm. And they even have a phrase that, you know, you'll see oftentimes when anything is happening in Eureka and we're pulling together, and you'll see the hashtag Eureka Strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even wristbands that say Eureka Strong when someone's hurting or there's been something happen.
Yeah, after the flood, the Eureka Strong thing became really popular. Right. And at first I thought, okay, there's another slogan. But it is amazing. I mean, there was the businesses downtown that flooded. So many people just showed up. I mean, just everybody from town to help sandbag, and then after the flood to help gut out and to help get people back on their feet. It's been it's been really amazing to watch.
Now, St. Mark's Lutheran Church has been around for some time. Started off in Allenton, right? Just kind of down the road a little bit.
Just across the freeway from Six Flags.
I think I just heard Pastor Dar say 1972. Is that right?
I think it went back even further than that. I want to say the 40s.
Or 72, they built our church, maybe?
I think they probably started construction in 72. Okay. I'm trying to remember what the...
I think it goes back to the 40s. Now I'm going to have to look it up.
Wow.
It is. The church is much older than, of course, our current building.
Right.
So St. Mark's has been around and been present in the community for some time now. And Pastor, you've been there for 15 years. Denise in the community for over 26 years?
27.
27 years. How would you describe St. Mark's presence in the Eureka community? Now a day school, a early childhood center, and K through 8 school as well. How would you describe St. Mark's presence in the community?
St. Mark's has made a lot of impact in the community over time. So many families have sent their kids to our day school, and the day school really does instill the faith, instill Christ into the lives of so many people, and it has made a great impact in so many people and so many families, not even in Eureka, but you know, as the kids move out and go down throughout the world, we could tell story after story of amazing people doing really amazing things because of what God did through St. Mark's. But then in addition to that, we've done a lot of, you know, community outreach and things, especially lately. My history only goes back 15 years and St. Mark's history goes back a lot farther, but I do know that we've done a lot of community outreaches, everything from building wheelchair ramps to, cleaning out,
gutters and
rain gutters, yard work, all this kind of things that we've been doing for a long time, and just continuing to spread God's love through acts of service.
Right.
And a long history of international work as well, with sending teams overseas to Guatemala, and I know in the past in other places as well.
In Mexico.
Exactly, internationally and you know, throughout the United States, we've been sending teams for many years.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of trivia. You want to guess what year the congregation was organized?
47.
Close. 48.
48. There you go.
1948. Okay. I had to look it up.
Okay.
I thought it was in the 40s. I thought I had read that. So the congregation has been there for some time, is certainly established in the community, and with a heart for missions and for outreach, for reaching around the world and right here in the community. Tell us a little bit about what happened let's go back to December, January, this past winter.
December 29th. Yeah, the river crested on the 30th. We were kind of looking at our facts this morning. And what happened is people were starting to be concerned because this constant flow of rain, 11 inches in 24 hours or something like that. And we were getting more and more concerned. And I sat on my big hill in Eureka, where my house is, and I started to become concerned for the people that I knew would flood. There were a lot more out there, but the ones I knew... one was a mobile home park on Twin Rivers Road, and that's a place where we'd been doing ministry for about 7 years, ministering to the families there, the women. We had a ladies' Bible study in one of the mobile homes. We were doing an on-site vacation Bible school on weekends in the summer for the children, and made it a family vacation Bible school. We had just had a Christmas party for the families in that community and bought gifts for the children, clothing, food, had a big celebration, and I was just praying and feeling very concerned for them. So what I did is on New Year's Day, as soon as I could get out of my house, because even though I wasn't flooded, the roads that surrounded me and many others, including Pastor Bob, you know, they were flooded. So as soon as I could get out, I just went to town to see who was doing what. I knew there was going to be flooding, but I didn't know where. And I'd already seen the sandbagging in downtown Eureka, so I figured they were safe. Well, they were not safe. And it was devastating to see our town flooded the way it was. And so the Elks Lodge in Eureka sits up on the railroad tracks. They're just above where it had flooded. And that was kind of ground zero for where volunteers were coming and then being sent out to work. So that's where I began. But then I found that they didn't really have heart for the people that I did. I wanted, at that time, they do now, but at that time they were just focused on the businesses, which was important. But I knew that our people in the trailer park were suffering and out on other roads. So I went up the hill to the Baptist church, and they had assembled just an amazing amount of water, food, clothing, blankets. So every day for the next 2 months, I went to that place and they loaded my car with things, and I would just drive it out to the people in their homes, because the community had really embraced the businesses. They were helping them mm-hmm. and supporting them as much, and some of the subdivision in Eureka that had flooded as well.
Sure. To give an idea of the landscape of businesses in Eureka, the Eureka Main Street, where a large portion of the locally owned businesses are, that was all flooded.
Right. Central Avenue, we call it. Central, and that's where we have our block parties mm-hmm. once a month in the summer. And right, several restaurants and
some family,
art gallery.
Family businesses.
Mm-hmm. Right. A lot of family businesses right there on that street, all underwater.
And no one with flood insurance. Very few with flood insurance.
Right. It's not a place that typically floods with, with the seasonal floods that we get. That's not a place that typically floods. It's just a tiny little creek. Really, that connects to rivers that was really the way that the water came in.
Right. And I think that's one of the things you have to understand about this flood, is that it was far more severe, and the water came up faster and was not expected to come up as far. And so people didn't have the time to respond. They didn't have time to sandbag that far up the street, or mm-hmm. they just didn't have. And the people who did sandbag didn't sandbag anywhere near high enough.
Mm-hmm. And those who live along the big river that are accustomed to spring flooding, they're not used to that in the winter.
Sure.
And they're certainly not used to it coming up as quickly as it did. We were checking our facts this morning, and in Eureka, 17 feet above flood stage, that's when they take action. And then it goes up to major flooding at 31, but we crested at 4606.
Wow.
46 feet.
Right.
So and that's incredible.
To give an idea of what it was like, one of our members, they're used to the water rising out there. I mean, in the area that was flooded, they get floods frequently, and most of the houses are built up high on stilts. And mm-hmm. One of our members, his what kind of looks like a basement is actually unfinished space because it floods. Mm-hmm. And his house is built about 20 feet above the grade, so that he's protected from the water. Well, that family, mom and the daughter, went to town to stay with grandparents, and he was going to stay at the flood just basically to guard the house against looters. Well, the water started rising and rising, and pretty soon he had to put his cats and dogs in the car, go up to a high point on the road and watch the house go underwater.
Wow.
So, I mean, the water came up so fast and so much farther than anybody was expecting. And so it was the damage was so much more severe than it has been ever before.
Mm-hmm. There were so many homes that were affected this time with this flood, because it was just so much higher. It crested so much higher than any flood. Was this a record for?
Yes.
Yes.
Floods
this is in this area? Depending upon where you are on the river, it was about 4 to 5 feet higher than ever before.
So many of the people didn't have flood insurance because they were above what FEMA determined to be flood stage. They felt they were safe. And some had already raised their homes and, again, felt safe. So this was such a shock.
Sure. Right. And as you mentioned, a lot of the businesses around, the downtown Eureka area weren't really expecting this kind of flooding either.
No, Joe Bacardi's has been there for decades.
Right.
I mean, they've been there since way before I was in Eureka, and they flooded.
Right. And it was really fun again to watch the community come together, because Joe Bacardi, his restaurant was closed. I mean, it was severely underwater, but he had a trailer that they used for community events where they could make pizzas and a few other items. And so they rolled that into the parking lot and set up a big tent and just kept his employees employed through the recovery. Now Joe Bacardi's is open again, but during the flood, while we were doing all the disaster relief, we were able to some members were, they weren't able to go out and actually work, but they wanted to contribute somehow. And so what they did is they fed the crews that went out and did the work, and they would go to Joe Bacardi's and they would buy pizzas at the trailer.
Right.
so that the flood relief was actually helping the flood relief. And so we were able to really, contribute to the community. And it was a really, really
cool
thing.
So not only were they feeding the people that were doing work, helping in the community, but they were also trying to support the local economy as well.
Supporting the employees right. of the business that was underwater.
Yeah.
Right. So I think, when we look back to those early days when we were trying to figure out what to do, initially it was trying to find the people. Because when a flood happens like this, you can't just go to their house and find them. They're gone. They're living yeah. wherever they can find a place to live. So initially, before the water rose, one of the ladies at our church went to the mobile home park on Twin Rivers Road, and she got 7 of the children and took them to her house so that they would be safe. And then the parents just found wherever they could to live. And she kept them for something like 10 days in her home. Plus, she had her own children. So she was just willing to do that. And then we started making contact with organizations in Eureka, like Not In Our Backyard. It's a group of women who want to make a difference in the Eureka community. And they were willing at that time, and they had the resources immediately available to provide motels for the people. So right away we went to Eureka, got a great deal with America's Best and Super 8, and they housed some of our flood victims. And what sits between these two motels is a little church called Ignite. It's a non-denominational church, and our Eureka Mothers of Preschoolers meet in that church. So I was very friendly with Nan, the pastor's wife there, and Pastor Jody. And so right away, they agreed and they were willing to let us have a little dinner over there. We called it Friday Flood Dinners. And so we'd bring the people from the motel over and have just to get them out of the mm-hmm. motel, get them, because they're out, they had started working in their homes, and just to have an evening to be together and fellowship and pray and have a nice home-cooked meal. So that was an incredible blessing. And then they opened up the back of their church to allow us to use that as storage for furniture and appliances that started coming in. Those were great blessings, but we had nowhere to put them. There were, not one house was repaired yet. Mm-hmm. So the churches came together in a way in Eureka that we have heard from FEMA, from Red Cross, Salvation Army. Everyone we meet with in the long-term recovery groups will say Eureka is very unique in that our churches have come together. We have a faith-based organization. There, the Elks Lodge is a part of that, the fire department, the police department, other organizations, but it's the churches that really showed up on that day. Mm-hmm. Because when you're sitting there and everything is gone, it's ruined. It all has to be thrown out. And you need some clothing, shoes, just the basics. You have no food, nothing. And you can't wait for FEMA to show up. And to be honest, in northern Jefferson County, it's sort of a forgotten area. If you've ever been up Highway W, you'll see why, because Jefferson County has Hillsborough as their
county seat.
Their county seat. And then Eureka's on the other side. So there's this like no man's land, we call it, between Eureka and Highway 30.
Right. It's all smaller roads that
smaller
go through there. No
roads,
major thoroughfare.
Little yeah. dirt roads jut off that. And sometimes it'll be a blacktop and you keep going and going and it turns to dirt. And mm-hmm. I found about 8 homes down one of those roads because we had a member whose son was living there. So I just went to see him. And once I got there, he said, oh, go see my neighbor. Don't worry about me. I'm a young single guy. Go down the road. And so we did help him, mm-hmm. but then we did keep going down the road. We just met more and more wonderful, hardworking, incredible people. And you know what? I mean, talking about those early days, it's hard, but they were very emotional. And the women, every time, they would just come out and hug me and just start crying. And I would cry with them and pray with them. Right. And these were people that didn't necessarily have a church home. I'm not even sure if they had faith at that time, but they certainly They found their faith once we kept coming and coming and bringing what we could and supporting them and loving them and praying mm-hmm. with them. And it was all of our churches together doing that.
Let's talk a little bit about the state of homes at that time for these families. I mean, that were affected. Many, as we talked about earlier, that weren't, they might expect some flooding, but it would never typically get into their homes. It was in their in that area, but maybe in the yard, but never all the way up to the home. Once the roads were open again and you were able to get out, I know that a lot of the roads in the area were closed for 2 days, I think.
It was longer than that.
Even the interstate was closed for.
Yeah. I think the rain started on the 27th.
I was stuck in my house until like January 2nd or something. I mean, it was a long time. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I started trying to drive out into the neighborhoods. And at first we got turned away by the sheriff's deputies. And when I finally was able to get down the road, it's kind of funny when you talk about the roads being opened, it's kind of a relatives thing after a flood. Because the one time I was like doing a serpentine, driving up and down the road around boats and roofs and all kinds of flood debris that had covered the road. And you're just trying to pick your way through it and get to where, and in this case, where my member was that I was trying to go and check on. And so it was a bit of an adventure,
right?
Even heading out into that country.
Right. Yeah, everything's muddy and debris covering everything.
The roads washed out in some places. Yeah, it was bad.
So I was thankful for the new car that I had with all-wheel drive. And so everyone on along the river, when they see that little blue Subaru coming down the road, they knew I had something for them.
Well, and I had to laugh because my van was painted with mud for about 2 weeks, it was covered.
And I never once ran over a nail, which is just shocking. Yeah. My husband still can't believe it. I mean, people were tearing things out of their house, gutting their houses. It was laying all over the place. And I'm just driving over it. And every day he'd say, "You're going to get a nail." And I never did.
Yep.
So tell us about one of the first houses you visited that you saw the inside of, the first house you saw that was affected by the flood, where you saw the interior.
The first house that I saw was, again, one of our members, and this is a house that they actually did finish the downstairs, probably ill-advisedly, but they needed the space. And so they finished the downstairs, and that house had flooded once before. And, it was probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. And I just grabbed a bunch of kids, youth, teenagers from our church. And we went over and, I guess I didn't know the term at that time, but we mudded out her house, took out all the drywall and insulation and all the stuff that was damaged by the floodwaters back then. I went back this time, and they'd learned from past floods that, when the waters come, the downstairs is going to go underwater. And so they carried everything upstairs and put it on the floor upstairs. Well, this flood, they had 3 feet of water upstairs. So everything they owned had been flooded. When you walked into the downstairs, insulation and drywall were hanging off the ceiling. The smell is unique.
Very musty.
It's nauseating.
It's so emotional because you're coming into the house of a family of people you know and love, and they've lost so much. They haven't even processed it yet. It's just overwhelmingly sad. And so all we could do is, and what I did is, it was over Christmas break yet. And so we had college students left in town. And so we put together a crew of college students because they're free during the day. Mm-hmm. And we went out there and we started filling a dumpster. And that was our first foray into flood relief.
Right. One of the first homes I went into belonged to an awesome young mom and dad, and they have 2 girls who are, I think, let's see, they're 12 and 14. And when I drove up, I'd been to visit a member as well, and he was outside, and he was just devastated, so I didn't go into his house. But as I drove down the road, I got to the very end, and this mom and dad were standing outside with their girls, all of them in coveralls. It was cold, obviously, it was December. And when I got out of the car, I just went up to talk to the lady, introduce myself, and ask what I could do to help. And she just started to sob. And so we hugged for a while. And then our daughters came over. And I said, "Well, may I see the house?" And they said, "Yeah." And took me upstairs. And just to see the stuffed animals, the clothing, the girls' things, just covered in mud, river mud. And actually, her husband had already started gutting the house. This is probably January 3rd by the time I made it out to that road. And And he'd already started gutting it. And I said, you're already doing this? He said, yeah, we can't let mold grow in here. We've got to get this out. And the people all down that road, you know, they did that. That just constant. They were so hardworking, so dedicated. But then they lost their income because they couldn't go to work.
Right.
So we got as many as we could in motels so they would have a warm place to sleep at night, warm and dry, be able to take a shower and get some food and then go back the next day and work again. So hugging them, and then I offered, do you want to pray together? And they said yes. And so many times we ministered to them in our church with meals, at the Ignite Church, in the motel. And it's just been an incredible experience being able to be Christ's hands and feet to these people. But I have to say that in the case of the mobile home park, I feel if we hadn't had that prior relationship with them, we would have not been able to find those people and be able to minister to them immediately and then in an ongoing way. So having developed a relationship with them, which, you know, for the listeners out there, I would say it doesn't matter if it starts really small, it can grow to be something amazing. And how that started in a really small way is just delivering Meals on Wheels for the community. And there was one disabled veteran in that trailer park that had received Meals on Wheels, and our church developed a relationship with him, and one thing led to another, and it snowballed into this Bible study in the home and vacation Bible school and all that we did for that community. And so when it was time to talk with Eureka, the Elks Lodge, who had some amazing contributions from all over the country, because people had heard about our flooding in Missouri, they started sending money. And so one of our members, who is an Elk member, he said, you know, we have a lot of resources over here that we'd like to use. And I said, well, we have an incredible discount at Lowe's right now. So we got together and we figured it out. And they learned that because this is a 63025, that's kind of what we talk about now. If you're 63025, you're definitely our people. We want to come out and help you. And we'll go beyond that as well. But just kind of educating our community of Eureka, letting them know our community expands beyond the city limits. They support our town with in the business. You know, they come to our Walmart, to our drugstore, to, you know, whatever. So we want to reach out to those people, and we want them to stay. That's a big, big thing in the community, is that we don't want them to leave and go somewhere else to live. We want them to stay there and continue supporting the businesses and the commerce in Eureka. So we have to help them to either rebuild or relocate locally if possible. That is a big focus.
We're talking about disaster response in the community of Eureka, Missouri, following the floods this past winter. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our conversation. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
This topic's appropriate with Mother's Day just behind us. Kim Bailencourt was well into her pregnancy when headaches developed. Because she was pregnant, Kim went to the doctor. What they found was devastating. She had two malignant and aggressive brain tumors. Immediate surgery removed them, but she delayed chemo and radiation until after Hyatt was born. Kim and Phil have six kids, three of them adopted siblings, one with serious physical needs. Considering their situation, the doctors, of course, offered abortion, but Kim said no. She put her baby's life above her own, and this isn't an isolated case. Several women make the same courageous stand but remain hidden heroes. Please pray for Kim and all the other mothers who say no to abortion in these situations.
Follow us on Twitter at Life Issues USA and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Worldwide KFUO salutes our day sponsors on this Monday, May 16th, 2016. Today's day sponsors are Gary and Christine Gruber. Today's day sponsors have made a contribution to Worldwide KFUO in thanksgiving to the Lord for the blessing of 35 years together as they celebrate their wedding anniversary tomorrow on May 17th. Once again, we say thank you to Gary and Christine Gruber of Bloomington, Illinois. Today's Worldwide KFUO day sponsors.
It's the perfect time of year to move to sunny, affordable Central Florida. Join fellow Lutherans at The Landings at Lutheran Haven. Known for comfortable retirement living since 1948, The Landings are brand new villas from the mid-100s. Enjoy carefree living that includes meals, housekeeping, and a full continuum of health services on campus. Live and grow with Christ at The Landings. For information, phone 888-298-5590 or visit lutheranhaven.org/KFUO.
The Lutheran Federal Credit Union is open to congregation members and employees of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and their families, and family members of students attending LCMS congregation-owned schools. Lutheran FCU offers checking and savings accounts, loans, and every banking need, including online and mobile banking. Lutheran FCU is part of a co-op network with over 5,000 branch locations. Lutheran Federal Credit Union is online at lutheranfcu.org. Equal housing lender, federally insured by the NCUA.
You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are discussing the recent flooding and disaster response in Eureka, Missouri that occurred, the flooding that occurred this past winter, December and January this past winter in Eureka, Missouri, and the disaster response of congregations in the community. And one thing that we'll get to here in just a little bit is the support from our church body and other agencies as well, working together to help this LCMS disaster response. And they have the National Disaster Response Conference coming up in October 18th through the 20th, and that'll be taking place at Fort Wayne at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Pastor Bob Lehman, you'll be speaking at that conference, right?
That is correct. Yeah, they asked me to be able to share some of the experiences we've had in Eureka.
So the Eureka flooding and the involvement of St. Mark's in the community in disaster response is one of the case studies this year for the National Disaster Response Conference. You can find out more about it on lcms.org/disaster. You can find information about the 2016 National Disaster Response Conference. Registration opening up for that today, I believe, or very soon. So check it out, lcms.org/disaster, to find out about the 2016 National Disaster Response Conference. Before we went to break, we were talking about the families that were affected, their homes that were affected by the flooding, and some of your first visits, you know, to these homes, and what you witnessed as you saw not only how the building itself was affected and devastated by the flooding and mud just filling the whole homes, and the work that ensued after that in order to salvage what they could of the homes, but also, what did this do to family life, to life? You know, this changed life in general for these individuals. I think, Denise, you mentioned that, you know, because they were cleaning out their homes and doing this work and to salvage what they could, they weren't able to carry out their regular jobs. So this affected income as well. Other ways that you saw how this disaster, this flood, affected the individuals and the families and the community?
Well, I think it brought us closer together. I know it sounds crazy, but because our church was constantly praying for these people, they were really constant in our thoughts, and we wanted to do whatever we could to help them. And they'll tell you that the church showed up before anyone, and we don't ever want to get in the way of first responders, the fire department, people like that. But as soon as that's taken care of and everyone is safe, I think it's awesome, and it's the way it should be, that the church is first on the scene. And the people were just so happy to see us, and they were blessed by that. And so on Easter morning, It was so great. We were sitting there in church, and I was kind of standing around talking to people before service started. And I look up, and one of our favorite guys on the river walks through the door, big grin on his face. And I was just like, oh, my gosh, there he is. There's John. So ran up, gave him a hug, and he said, can I sit with your family? I'm like, of course. So we've seen the faith grow in them, and just the questions that they're asking about why we're there. That's the thing. Why are you doing this? They keep, you know, in the beginning, they were saying that to me. Why do you keep coming here? Why are you helping us? And it's because we love you and because God loves us so much that he sent Jesus for us. And we just want to share that love with you. And it really, I think it changed them.
Yeah. I think that's such an important thing to really keep clear as to why we do this. You know, we're not doing this to elevate our profile in the town. We're not doing this because we're looking for new members. We're not doing this because the reason we do this is we don't even do this purely for evangelism. We do this because these people are people and God loves them, and God's taken such good care of us and loved us in so many ways. And it when there's people in need, that's what we do. Mm-hmm. We love people. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's wonderful because, you know, in loving people profoundly, we want to not just take care of their physical needs, but we want to take care of their spiritual needs as well. And we want to connect with them and do everything we can, not just to make their life here on earth a little bit more comfortable, but to make it possible for them to be connected with Jesus and to be able to receive from him all the gifts that he has for them, including forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And so it wouldn't be complete love without witness. And so, one of the most wonderful and joyful things we get to do is actually go out there and listen to these folks and hug them and pray with them and continue to build a relationship with them into the future.
And a group that we're forgetting about it are the volunteers. Sometimes people come out and volunteer just because they want to make a difference and help. They don't necessarily have a church home or a faith, or, you know, they're just struggling in that area. Maybe they really don't care about it. They don't think about it. And all of a sudden they're working alongside us and they're watching what we do and saying, wow, you know, you really are out here helping these people. You're praying with them and they welcome you. So it's incredible to be able to minister to and encourage the volunteers who aren't necessarily where we are with the Lord.
Yeah.
And there's an incredible group that showed up early on called All Hands. And they were being housed at the Methodist Church, but they're not affiliated with a church. And one of the greatest blessings has been working with those people. I love those kids. I mean, I have three boys, and these guys that are kind of in charge, they're just like my boys, and I love them. And so having them there and being able to just walk into their church anytime I want, talk with them and ask them for help. Hey, will you send a crew over here or over there? And they honored that. And I feel like God showed us favor in so many places. Everywhere we went and asked for help, it was always yes. We were never turned away and always gave us a good, you know, quote, deal. Everything, Dumpsters, we got a good deal. Lowe's, we got a good deal. Everywhere we went, they just gave us a great deal on what we needed. And even the All Hands guys, which is now called Bridge to Recovery, they're an incredible blessing to have, too. I just love those guys.
Yeah. God has provided in so many ways, and I love it because, you know, we can talk about the money that he helped us with, but also the way he provided for us without money. I mean, without any cost or with very, very limited cost. Who knew that there were so many resources out there? One of the things that I am always amazed by is how unprepared we were for this disaster. I mean, we had no idea what we were doing going into this. I mean, there was a need and we were going to try to figure out how in the world we could plug into this and bring God's peace here. But boy, God's big.
And
he's way bigger than money and way bigger than we ever give him credit for.
When I went out on January 1st and I saw everything that happened, I came home and told my husband, I'm like, I'm going to do this for just a month and then we'll have everyone back in their houses and it'll be great. Like I had never responded to anything like this before, and I thought, we're just going to tear that out and put up some drywall and it'll be fine. 1 month.
Exactly.
I'll be finished.
Yep.
Right.
I think I was thinking 3 months.
Oh, wow. Okay. A little more realistic then.
So how has this changed how you view the community, or how has this changed the community?
It's changed it in amazing ways. I mean, we're so much closer, and I see a real love that the community has for people that are in the outlying areas of Eureka. Mm-hmm. They don't think anymore just in terms of their city limits. They think in terms of our community as a whole and how these people are just that are living on the river. They're there because they want to. They love being there. It's a part of their personality, their life. They wouldn't want to be anywhere else. But they have incredible stories. And I love spending time with them. And they'll just tell you, one family, so this is sort of just to put it in perspective as well, why they needed so much help. There's an 80-year-old lady owns one of the homes, and on either side of her, her son has each of those homes. So all three homes were flooded. Well, she can't rebuild her home. And usually when something like this happens, who do you call on? Your friends and family. Well, right now, her whole family is flooded. So how can they rebuild three homes? So that's why they needed us and other resources. So it was such a blessing to be there and help them because they were overwhelmed. They didn't even know where to start. Some people, a man I talked to this week, said he left for about 6 weeks. He was so depressed he couldn't even go back. We picked up three new homes this week, just this week, because they couldn't deal with it for a while. They had to get over the shock of all of it. And so, but it's changed us as a church and as a community because I think we're more loving, we're more aware of what others need, how we can put others' needs above our own, and also just how strong we are. I think that we didn't realize how much we could do, yeah. Right?
Yeah. And it is absolutely amazing to see how God is in the middle of all of this. We think in terms of, you know, what our ability is. And if we do that, we get overwhelmed so quickly. You know, you drive, mm-hmm. I remember that first time I drove down Twin River Road after the flood, and I just was amazed at the damage and how many houses were affected and how many families were out of their houses and how much they had lost. And at first you're just, what can I do? You know, mm-hmm. I mean, even St. Mark's, which is, you know, there's a lot of people there, mm-hmm. but what can we do? This is the need is so great. We're so small, mm-hmm. you know?
So we called the Lutheran Church.
Yeah. shortly after the flood, while I was still trapped in my neighborhood by the floodwaters, I was on the phone a lot, calling members, trying to find out where the damage was and just try to make sure that everybody was safe. But then I got a text message from your wife,
Lauren, who's awesome.
Yeah, Lauren, she was amazing.
She's awesome.
Yeah, and she basically told me about the LCMS disaster response and suggested that maybe they'd be able to give us some help. And so I got in touch with Ross Johnson, and they have been amazing. Mm-hmm. They gave us the beginning. They gave us the confidence to really start moving forward. They helped us out with a $20,000 grant for direct help to the families that were affected. That was based upon, we had seven member families because of the outreach to the trailer court. We had seven baptisms shortly before the flood, mm-hmm. and so those families were all member families. And in addition to that, there was two or three other families that were also underwater. And so we had all these families that were a member of our church that were underwater, and we needed the help. And they came through with $20,000 for direct help to our members and to whoever else we could help. And then in addition to that, they gave us $5,000 for a trailer so that we would be able to respond more effectively. And they came, Ross came out one day with a pickup truck full of stuff, pressure right. washers and just all
cleaning
generator,
supplies.
Cleaning supplies, yeah.
right.
tools, all kinds of amazing stuff that was invaluable right. to doing all this work. Unbelievable support that they gave us. And, it was amazing because, you know, I thought, well, that's it. When we're done with this $20,000, we're going to be done.
Right.
right? Well, God kept moving the cheese because he kept giving us money. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, members were donating money. And then the Elks, when they found out what we were all doing and how effective we were at mm-hmm. getting this work done, mm-hmm. Every time we spend, what, $5,000, they refill our coffers.
Right.
And so as of currently, we have spent over $27,000 on flood relief. And right now in our account, we still have over $27,000 left. We have raised just a little bit more than $55,000 And we don't have, we can't take any credit for any of it. I mean, it is just right. God just keeps bringing us resources. And so I guess as long as we still have money, we still have work to do.
Right. And St. Mark's is seen as the organization that will provide the materials. And so we'll provide the drywall, the mud, the paint, the even furniture sometimes. But it's kind of neat how it's worked out that the Baptist Church has their disaster relief as well. And so they showed up and started gutting. And then we provided the housing for them to get in the motels and some food and things like that. And Ignite had the storage. And then we had Methodist Church housing some of the other people that came later to gut. And now we're doing the rebuilding. And so it's just this great combination of efforts and all the churches just coming together to do that. But we continue to build and work and get the people back in their homes. But what we're really lacking now are the volunteers, because right. the perception now is Eureka's fine because the business is reopened. We had our New Year's Eve party, you
2.0,
because
right.
we didn't have a New Year's Eve party on actual New Year's Eve night. So we had New Year's Eve 2.0. And so then the perception is, all right, flooding's over. Everybody's happy. Well, we still have many, many people that are not back in their homes. They might be living with family members. They're in rental properties, temporary housing of some kind, still working on their homes. So St. Right. Mark's, our work is not finished.
No. And I think there's this bit of a compassion fatigue as well. Right after the flood, we had teams that went out there. And I mean, there was like 20 people would show up on a Saturday and they would go out right. and they'd work on houses. And it was amazing. now it's, we still have need. I mean, there's still people who are not back in their houses yet. And there's, you know, families that are still living with other family. And mm-hmm. It's not done, but the groups that are going out to do work are getting smaller and smaller. And it's because people have compassion, but their compassion, you know, it wanes after time. And so, that is the need that we're experiencing right now, is trying to mobilize people to actually go out and help do the work.
The need for more hands to...
Yes.
Yeah,
to
and it doesn't even require all skilled labor. I mean, some
right.
people think,
Anyone.
Well, if I'm not a carpenter or a drywaller,
right.
I can't do it. But we've got people who know how to
right.
do the work, and they can teach.
And we have a great construction project manager,
yeah,
so he can
amazing.
Coordinate that. At first, it
Is
was
that
Chris? Bob. It's
Chris,
yeah. So at first, it was kind of me and Bob, and I was texting Bob at like 10 o'clock at night. Here he's trying to take care of an entire congregation and the requests that I had for him for all the people in the flood. And and I'm like,
good.
Bob, you know, what are we going to do? Are you going to be there at 7 in the morning? Are you going to show up? Well, I guess, Denise. And so finally he stood up one morning. This, if I could tell a church anything, it would be this. Make sure you find someone that will just be dedicated to doing that, because that's not really a pastor's job.
Yeah.
And so after that, he was able then to go out and pray with, minister to, talk to those people.
Right.
And let someone else
yeah.
do
Acts
the
chapter
measuring.
Six, right.
Yes.
Yeah. Acts chapter 6, we want our pastor to be able to preach and teach and pray.
I love fixing things. I mean, I remodeled 2 houses myself. I love doing that stuff.
Right.
But yeah, it did get to be to the point where I was having a difficulty balancing all
right.
the everything. And so, Chris Osley stepped forward, and he's
awesome.
He knows more than I do. And
very
it's
talented,
awesome
yeah.
to have.
Very talented
oh my goodness,
guy.
A wonderful, wonderful man. And he is able to make sure that things are not just done, but done right.
Yeah.
He makes sure that we are, you know, following codes and make sure
oh
that we
gosh.
Have the right
codes.
The right. I know. It sounds so silly because we're all like, oh great, code again. But this is important. You know, they wouldn't come up with these rules if
right,
it didn't
right.
if it wasn't important.
And you know, I think for me, the kind of wrapping it up in my mind was a devotion I had a couple weeks ago. I got up one morning, I was really feeling frustrated, overwhelmed, and I read a devotion that was written by a man who had done some work in the Philippines, and he said, if you go to bed at night praying for God to move a mountain, be prepared to wake up next to a shovel. And I thought, that's it. That really, in essence, yeah. kind of explains what we've been doing, is we
right.
keep praying for God to move this mountain.
Right.
And we're doing it. You know, we're taking up our shovels every day, doing what we can, and just doing it in the name of Christ and just to honor him and to glorify him only, not ourselves,
right.
just him.
And it's amazing how he multiplies our effort. I mean, we just do the next thing. I mean, that's all we can
do.
We're not very big, you know,
right.
we do the next thing.
Sure.
You know, there's 3 more families that need help. We're going to start lining up.
Right.
projects and materials, and we're going to help them. But God multiplies the effort. I mean, he really does. He makes it happen. He is. I just like to say he's so much bigger than we think he is.
You know, right.
we think we understand God and have him figured out, and then he blows us away and shows us that he is so much more. And so, it's a wonderful place to be on the front lines. You know, on the watching God working in this community mm-hmm. in such a powerful way.
So many needs have been met. I know that there are so many more yet to be met. Denise, you mentioned that there has been collaboration with so many other organizations in the Eureka community. Mm-hmm. And how important is it to be able to collaborate with other organizations to put all this effort together in a way that's helpful? I mean, there are so many resources abundant now because mm-hmm. people have stepped up and God has provided in so many ways. How important is it to organize all those efforts and to collaborate?
It's so important. My husband jokes with me and says I'm a community organizer because I have developed relationships with all the people in the other churches in our community that want to participate in this. And this morning before I came, I texted them and asked them to pray that, you know, God would be glorified by our time on the air this morning and that other volunteers would be sent to help in our continued recovery efforts. And so that it's incredible because they have members who are resources too, who are business people that can provide something, members that might have extra sofas or beds, money, whatever we can do just to come together as a community. And I'm telling you, as volunteers, we were overwhelmed at times. And I could go up to the Baptist church and cry on Neva's shoulder, and she could cry on mine. And Neva's the secretary there and always available. I called her on weekends, nights. Can you get me a gift card? Can you get me a mattress cover? You know, whatever it is I need. And she'll just go run and do it. And Jody, I'm texting him all the time over at Ignite. I'm coming in to drop off furniture. And their church has been amazing because I got to tell you, they want to have a vacation Bible school in there sometime this summer. And right now it's full of shower stalls and sofas. And so we're working on that. But it's a really important thing. And I would encourage any community to reach out to the other churches that surround them and work together, because the people are impressed by that. They see we're not drawing any denominational lines. We're all in it together for the name of Christ.
Yeah,
working together to provide these acts of mercy for the community to show that strong witness. Mm-hmm. With just a little bit of time, you mentioned there's a need for more hands to help, more
yes.
volunteers to help. Is there a way, where can they find out more to help in the community?
I think if they were to want to check our website at stmarkseureka.org, they would be able to find contact information for our church, email addresses, phone numbers. I would even be very comfortable giving my email address out. They could contact me directly mm-hmm. at mythreesonseureka@aol.com. So it's my, the number 3, SONS, eureka@aol.com.
I know when I get an email from that email address, yeah. that means that there's something coming up and there's some work to be done.
There's
absolutely
a request on the way. They're like, oh no, not her again.
Oh, that's great. Thank you both for being here today, sharing your story. Again, the LCMS Disaster Response, National Disaster Response, coming up October 18th through the 20th. You can find out more on lcms.org/disaster. Pastor Bob Liebman, St. Mark's, thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
And Denise Kasten, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you, Andy.
Thy Strong Word up
next.
Listen
to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO. On the air, online, and on demand.